Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Wish it was Sunday.
Another pleasant valley Sunday.
Sunday came and trashed me out again.
Wake up!
Good morning, and we're in trouble.
Life, health, home, travel, and more. Life Matters, brought to you by Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better.
Is the laugh button working?
Good, all right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Life Matters is on your radio, Lake 96.1.
Well, welcome back. Good morning.
Thanks for letting me in. I was a little bit worried. I heard Tom Kay on the radio last week. I'm like, uh-oh, I just lost my job.
No. He was a very temporary stand-in.
Because it's good that you had help.
Yes, I do. I do have some support.
I do have some support.
Philip stuck around for a few minutes, and we talked about summer cocktails. And then, of course, I had to talk to Dick Nepenski from EAA, because every year I talk to him about that. And then, yeah, Tom Kwiatkowski was actually, I called him and said, hey, I know you're itching to talk on the radio one more time, and then that's it. Because, you know, sports jam's over, so he doesn't get to talk on the radio anymore. And he rushed over. And for some reason, he wasn't playing golf. I don't know what happened there.
Well, thank God he wasn't.
Yeah, so we chatted with him, but I'm so glad the band's back together.
Yes. I'm happy to be back.
Good.
I needed to be home, but...
You did. Like I said, I was trying to save your marriage.
My marriage was not in jeopardy.
It would have been if
My
you would have left.
My wife was hurting, though.
Right, well...
Oh, yeah. No. I couldn't have left her.
No. Now you
everything's
can,
going well there, so...
She's good.
Yeah.
Well, she's strong. She'll be fine.
Yeah, the biggest problem, and anybody who's been through this type of surgery, shoulder surgery, knows that there is a lot of butt time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in a sling, you're on the couch, you're... You know, your arm is braced up to take all the tension off and the pain away. And for someone who's active like Amy is, that doesn't work real well.
No.
So she's, she sneaks out once in a while and goes for a walk.
She doesn't sit still well. I know that.
No. Mm-hmm. What was it? Thursday morning last week, she was out watering plants and weeding the garden.
Good.
Yeah.
Fresh air is good.
So she's staying busy.
Yeah.
And I need to know when to back off too, because she's got to be able to move. And sometimes you're overprotective.
But you've had this done, too, so you know.
Yes.
But then again, every person's different,
right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. I just wanted to, she didn't need the stress of worrying about you coming and going for those first few days,
right.
So you had to stay home.
Yeah. Well, I got my motorcycle ride in, so.
Our decision. That's right.
She's doing well. Yeah. No, she's going to be fine.
Anyway, speaking of coming and going, just really quick, I heard a rumor last week, and I had to check it out. Well, and I didn't check it out myself. I actually asked Jim Strauss at the Geneva Shore Report if he had checked it out. And it turns out that he had. The goats are gone over at Hillmore.
Already?
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be like for the summer. They were going to just eat the whole golf course.
I don't know what happened. Apparently, nobody's talking about it. Nobody wants to answer any questions about it. But according to Jim, now I never went out there. Like, we had the opportunity to meet the goats that we sponsored, but you and I were both at different things in different places, and there was just no way we could get there that day or any day, really. It just wasn't going to work out. But it was my understanding that there weren't that many, that they weren't eating, that most of the time they were just kind of sitting there. And maybe they just didn't like the vegetation that was there.
Lake Geneva grows bad grass?
I don't know. Maybe.
Wasn't there supposed to be like 35 goats? Isn't that what the city contracted
for? Yeah, I thought that there were supposed to be a lot.
Well, 35 goats on an acre of land is a lot of goats.
So
did they bring food in for them?
Said no, because they're supposed to eat the vegetation.
But why would
did somebody feed them?
They're grazers.
So,
that's what they do.
So then the goats, you know, went to bed that night, woke up in the morning, and were in some other location. They were gone. And the city, the Department of Public Works, mowed the entire area.
to like, make it
look
supposed
like to represent success of the clearing. So, wow. You know, and here's the thing. And math isn't my strong suit, as we all know. I do not like math. However, I did find it entertaining because, well, again, the Geneva Shoal Report does report things that are happening in the area. You also have to remember that there is a very high level of opinion in their stories, much like this show. Understand, well, yeah. This show is for entertainment value for the most part.
I think we make that pretty clear that this is opinion and not fact.
Right.
I was wondering what was going on over there.
I've dropped my glasses.
They're getting attacked by a mouse.
Not going to bode well if I try to say. So here's what they say about the goat. He says, the goat thing, by the way, could marginally work, although it would take more than 4,000 goats eating constantly to clear the entire area. And then the goats would also have to stay to keep the land clear. So while this was, you know, I'm not sure if the math works out, but it sounds right. Like, think of how big Hillmore is, and you got it. You'd have to
farm.
Right. You'd have to have 4,000 goats eating constantly. And while I would like to believe that's an exaggeration, I'm not sure it is.
I don't think
this
that
case.
Would start any controversy whatsoever.
No. Have all those goats out there. But in the so the rumor that I heard was the guy wanted more money, and the city didn't want to pay it, and then the goats were gone. The other rumor I heard was that they weren't eating. They weren't eating the vegetation. They were laying there. So I don't know what happened with the goat situation, but it does not sound to me like it was a successful endeavor.
Maybe they were on strike. They were
their
getting
union.
Paid enough. Guy wanted more money. Goats were like, we're done until he gets paid.
All right, we're out of here. Yeah.
Take me home.
So I don't know. I mean, between, like I said, I don't have any facts because nobody's talking about it. It's all rumor, except for the fact that the goats are no longer there. The fence is gone and the area is mowed now. So. Huh.
Well, that's a big plan that.
I mean.
Went south.
I don't know what happened with the goats.
But the goats have left the building.
But the goats are gone. So now we go back to the original problem, which never really went away in the first place, regardless of the goats. The goats was really cute, a cute publicity stunt, but clearly that is not a solution as to what in the hell are we going to do with Hillmore.
It needs more than a publicity stunt out there. I wonder if we got our money's worth on those goats.
I know. We sponsored goats. I wonder where Tom and Nancy went.
Right. Well, I obviously left with everybody else. I hope they were the leaders of that revolt. It would make me feel a lot better.
We're done. We're out of here. This grass sucks.
Grab your
bags.
We don't
want it. Your bags. You're funny.
Oh,
we got a certificate, though, for sponsoring our guests.
Yeah, did we?
We did. I'm going to frame it and put it in my office with my other awards.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You can have it once in a while to hang in your office. But
gone.
Oh, yep, they're gone already. So I'm not sure how long they were supposed to be here.
Well, I don't either.
I don't remember what she said, but.
I think that show left me thinking they were here for the summer.
Okay. I just don't remember.
They were going to move them. They were going to.
Right.
They were
supposed to eat one
area.
Right.
Move the fence and keep moving them around and let them eat and see how well it worked. It didn't work. I wonder if they set the fence up on the parking lot. Because they won't eat asphalt.
They won't, but. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be really nice to know what happened. It's too bad. It's kind of.
Listen, I don't think we should do it again because we'd be throwing good money after goats.
Yeah, we already made that mistake once.
Yeah.
Never again.
Yeah, I don't know I don't know what happened to the goats, but anyway. So
the Hillmore problem continues.
Yeah. Well, there
is no grazing answer there.
Know what
I'm
they're going to
really
do
hard,
with that thing.
Running out of material.
Parking garage.
Yeah, that'd be a good
start. Don't even get me started.
Well, that low spot.
All
know,
of
right
it.
Across from.
Parking garage. It's making one massive parking area.
Right, right across from Lake Geneva Bowling Art. You know where that low spot is? It would be perfect. You get a couple.
It's a hotel on that road you could knock down and turn into a parking garage.
Oh, that'd be a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm
that
not
could
gonna
start another controversy. Let's
I'm
buy
not
the hotel.
Gonna, right. I'm not gonna, oh God, no, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, huge
oh, dude.
Structure.
No.
Bail.
Anyway,
bail.
Anyway, whiskey.
Yes,
from,
he's here.
Yes, he's out here. I heard him pull up.
From the Combat Vets Motorcycle Association.
Mm-hmm. Got a big event coming up.
Chapter 45-1.
Yep, next week.
Brothers on Bikes.
Yep, he's going to talk to us about that. And Tom Gardner joins us as well. We're going to talk about some of these Supreme Court decisions, I think. Yeah, that have come out recently. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
It's always fun, especially with those two.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tom's a blast. I would love talking to Tom. He's always got so much knowledge.
I know. And he lets us talk about whatever.
Yeah.
And he's a good sport about it.
And he didn't.
And he tells me when I'm wrong, which he should.
And he actually didn't sue me. We'll talk about that later.
Not yet.
Well, actually, it wouldn't have been him. It would have been Jackson.
Right. Yeah.
We'll talk about it later.
Well, we will. We will. In the meantime, hang on. Hang out with us. We'll be right back right here on Life Matters on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters.
Welcome back.
What's your nickname?
I don't have one.
What?
He's got to earn it yet.
Oh.
I'm not a member.
Oh,
well,
that's
he's
right.
Got to come around first.
Oh, well, that's true.
He's only
that's
around
true.
Once in a while. So.
Well, gonna, yeah.
You can still earn a nickname.
Right. I earned a nickname, and I'm only
a moped.
A limited availability person. Yes, my nickname is Moped. Whiskey's here, and then Tom, who shall remain
nameless.
Nicknameless. Nicknameless.
I have nicknames, but most of them cannot be put on the air.
Is still here. By the way, you weren't here last week because I made you stay home and take care of your wife. So a lot of people ask where you were.
Really?
Yeah.
Fired. Probably what they thought.
And I said, well, I'm trying to save his marriage. Anyway, take it away. Whiskey's here. We got a fundraiser coming up. I heard it's a pig roast, and I have a lot of jokes about that I'm not
Combat
allowed to tell.
Vets Motorcycle Association. Which supports veterans.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
It'll be our... So, I'm Whiskey. I'm with Combat Vets Motorcycle Association, Chapter 45-1. We have our 12th annual pig roast coming up. It's at Tracker's Pub and Grub in South Milwaukee at 1401 Rawson Ave. It's from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. on July 22nd.
Ooh, coming right up. Next week.
Well, 9 p.m. is like when the food ends, but you can stay and have fun.
Yep, so it'll be a block party. The whole street will be shut down. And
oh, nice.
So that's when the food stops officially.
Right. Now, what does CVMA do?
We ride motorcycles a lot.
Uh-huh. That sounds terrible.
And then we raise money and donate the money that we raise to other local veteran organizations.
Right.
Homeless vets. We usually pick different organizations for every event that we have.
Is this one dedicated to a certain... event or a certain group?
Not this time.
Good.
So
you just never know, too. I mean,
so the proceeds are going to you guys to keep you going.
Yep. The proceeds will keep our chapter going and our poker run in August that we have beneficiaries for.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
I know. You like a good poker run.
I do. I just like to ride whether it's raining or not.
Yep. That's. Not that we're here for the poker run, but this one's going to be rain or shine.
Right. Well, now, say, where is it again?
So it's at Tracker's Pub and Grub. The address is 1401 Rawson Ave in South Milwaukee.
Gotcha. So that's a nice ride up there.
It is a nice ride up there, and it's a vet-owned bar.
Oh, cool.
One of the members owns
my chapter commander owns the bar.
Oh.
And he's donating the space for our chapter to have our pig roast there.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a good time, and I'm sure... You guys have a bunch of, raffle prizes and stuff.
Raffle
like
prizes, 50-50 drawings.
Sure.
There will be live music, weather permitting. If it's raining, the band might back out. But.
Right. It's not going to rain.
But the vets
Oh, gosh, no.
We'll go get wet.
Have you guys had this one before? Is this the first time for this event? Or?
Nope, this is our 12th annual.
Oh, duh. Okay. How big does this, how many people? This sounds like a one that's pretty big.
Oh, I'm expecting a couple hundred people probably.
We that's nice.
Two or three pigs that were donated to us. So. Yeah.
The Monticelli dinner was pretty big.
Right.
That was packed. So I imagine this is going to be even bigger yet.
Oh, man, I love
wasn't motorcycle season. This is.
Right. I love a good pig roast. That you can't
I think
you can't beat that meat. I mean, I'm just saying, you just can't beat it.
No, you
it's
can't.
It's delicious. Yeah, I will try to break myself away from...
You could break away for a couple hours.
Country Thunder.
You might have to ride with Tom. I don't know if the moped will make it that far.
Yeah, no.
You might have to leave.
I got a trailer hitch on the Ultra Classic. I can haul you up there.
Oh, my God.
She'd
you
have to leave
have
Friday
to.
Night if she was going to ride the moped out there.
Right. You guys are so funny. And I'm not even making pig jokes.
I'm waiting.
I'll keep those for off the air. Well, I just think that this is a great organization because everything that we can do to support veterans, we need to be doing. We wouldn't be walking around free if it wasn't for every single veteran that we have
Absolutely.
On the planet and who have already gone to serve the Lord. So I just, anything that we can do to help support homeless, medical bills, whatever they possibly need is going to always ring right. high on my list and of good causes.
Going to this event, you're helping the vets support vets
because yeah.
they're doing all the hard work.
Right.
All you're doing is going there, having a good time, helping out, enjoying some really good food, some really good camaraderie. I mean, the guys are great. Mm-hmm. Like I've said many times, every time I show up, it's kind of like going home. So it's a good time. You'll have a lot of fun. Good food. There's a lot of stuff to be won. They put together the coolest raffle prizes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the gift baskets and that are phenomenal.
I've got some stuff to send with you. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
For raffle prizes, too. So
we appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. But, no, this is a fun one. And like you said, rain or shine, this one will go on.
Correct.
Doesn't matter. And because there's not a ride before or after. Like, so what you want to do is organize your own and make this the only stop.
Right.
I mean,
it is the only stop.
Right. It's always a good time.
Make a day of it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Bring kids, have some fun.
That's awesome. So next Saturday starts at what time?
Starts at 2 p.m. and unofficially goes till 9 p.m.
Till whenever. Right. Till whenever you leave. I'm guessing nobody's, well, I just started to say I'm guessing nobody's going to get kicked out. Bad behavior will get you kicked out.
Oh,
supportive behavior will not. Yeah. Supportive.
You supported or handled at the door.
Yes.
We're not too worried about the bad behavior.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm doubting that much of that goes on in these. Yeah, in these events.
Well,
you sort of, quote, police yourselves, yeah, pretty much.
The cool thing for me is it's military humor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's in your face and kind of brash and all that. But everybody is self-disciplined, and it doesn't get out of control because you take care of your own and take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
It's fun. It's just fun. And you can take the whole family. There's nothing, I don't know, R-rated about it. It's a
right.
good time. Bring
right.
your kids. Bring your wife. Bring, you know, whoever. Have a good time. Support them. Show them that we care.
I would like to say, if you are a vet, just come out and check us out, whether you ride or not.
Right.
You'll be treated like family.
Oh, of course.
Like
you don't
family.
Have to ride.
We're all
yeah.
a big dysfunctional family somewhere. But you won't be disappointed, and you'll make some good friendships.
Well, and that's true. You don't have to ride. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to be a vet. You don't. And I can tell you that I am neither one of those. I do not. Well, I mean, I ride. I don't drive my own bike.
Because, we don't count mopeds.
You know, and you don't count mopeds anyway. So, and then I'm obviously not a vet. But I, when I go like with you to some of these things and things like that, I have never been in the midst of such pure, genuine, fun-loving, caring people. Like,
that's
you don't realize how much you're missing as far as camaraderie and, like you said, friendship and things like that. If you walk in and it's like you have been friends with everybody for a million years. They don't know strangers. And there are none in this kind of setting and event and groups of people. And it's just, I don't know, it's just heartwarming. And you feel great being there and supporting. And you do. You make new friends. And then, you know, you get motorcycle fever. And you go out and you buy a bike. And you start riding. And then you start buying
more motorcycles.
More motorcycles.
And then you start changing stuff on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then winter comes, so it's time to redo everything.
Right.
Yeah, that's the fun of it.
But I mean, seriously, and it is a family event, and it's fun, and it's cool, and think of all of the help that you're giving just by going to a pig roast.
Right.
Like, you have no idea how much help that is.
Yeah, the littlest amount of help can go such a long ways when mm-hmm. it comes to a guy that's really needing the help.
Right, right.
And that's what the CVMA is there for.
That's right.
Even if it's just the family atmosphere, to where he needs like-minded people that served and just somebody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Absolutely.
The first time I went with him, like, oh, my God. It was like I was back at my last duty station.
Right.
You know, just, it was just fun.
Yeah.
And when Whiskey says you're welcome with open arms, you're welcome with open arms.
You are. You are.
You're going to take crap about what branch you were in, but that's expected.
Whether you like hugs or not, you'll get hugged.
Yeah. That's right.
It's how it works.
That's right.
That's a fact.
That's awesome.
There's nobody in my chapter that I personally served with, but I've already built those relationships with quite a few of them where I have it the same as the guys I did deploy with.
Sure. Well, yeah. You're all brothers and sisters.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, and you know what? We're all brothers and sisters. And this is a cause that should definitely be supported by everybody, because what our veterans have done affects our lives every single day. So you have to remember that in some way, shape, or form. Well, just the fact that, again, we're walking around the planet freely.
Right. Well, all the way back to that Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm. It's because of our veterans. So go over the info one more time. The time, the day. It's next Saturday, the 22nd.
Yep, it's Saturday, the 22nd. From 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Tracker's Pub and Grub at 1401 Rossin Ave in South Milwaukee.
Do you guys have a website or a Facebook page or anything? I can't remember.
We do have both.
Okay. Okay. So Combat, you got to say it. I can't say it.
I've got to look.
Combat
Vets Motorcycle Association.
Okay. So if you just Google it, you're going to find it.
45-1 is the key.
Oh.
You can Google CVMA 45-1.
Easy.
It'll hook you up. Yeah.
Okay.
We do have an official page. It's CVMA45-1.org.
Got.
And that shows all our events and everything that we have going on for this year.
Oh, perfect.
If I can find it, anybody can.
Right. That's true.
He's not wrong.
That's absolutely true. Yes. Your issues are definitely the interface between the chair and the keyboard.
Yeah, anything electrical is just not my
electrical
thing.
Anyway, Whiskey, it was good to see you.
I appreciate you having me.
Oh, my gosh. No problem. And have a good time next week. It's going to be a great time. I don't know. I may or may not be.
We'll be bugging her.
Yeah. I may
Gotta
or may,
get her out there.
I may or may not be. Somebody would have to come and get me.
So it's going to be a while before she can get on a bike.
Yeah, somebody would have to come and get me because I'll be, like, in camp.
I would have to ride my motorcycle over to your house and pick you up.
You'll have to pick me up at Country Thunder. Well, I will be at Country Thunder. Like, literally in camped at Country Thunder.
Okay.
Yeah, so you'll
the
have to.
The further you gotta go, the better it is.
I'll have to climb the fence and jump on the bike and then climb the fence back in.
So, a friend of mine, Dan Gerlitz, and I went out for a burger last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we went up to a place called Moe's, which is just north of Adams.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. It was about 3.5 hour ride, 150 some miles, great burger, and we came home. And that's really
what it's about.
I would love that life.
Is about. Yep.
I would love that life. Oh, my God. I would love that life.
Back from a 2-day ride yesterday. It was awesome.
That he never calls me for anymore.
I see. I'm hearing you. Yeah. You're in a lot of trouble now.
I got nothing.
CVMA 45-1. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in. And good luck next week at the event. Maybe I'll see you. Maybe I won't. It'll depend on whether or not I can. Yeah.
Well, your ride's in right there. So.
I know. He'll make me. I see it now.
I'll do my best.
I see it now. But I would like to go. If I can, like, squeeze that out, I will. Because, like I said, there's nothing like that family.
No.
That family bond that you get just from making a few friends and supporting the cause. So, again, thank you so much. Coming up next, more Life Matters. Tom Gardner joins us right after this on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters on this fine, fine summer Sunday morning. Tom Gardner joins us from Gardner, Koch, Weisberg, and Rona. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I am good. Tom and I had the lovely opportunity to attend your annual customer appreciation party at the Riviera a couple weeks ago. And what fun that was. That was absolutely fun. Thank you for having us.
I'm happy you came. You kind of closed down the place, didn't
you? It was, yeah, no.
I wish.
I wish. But no, we did see like so many people that we knew. It's just funny how you don't realize, you know, this is such a small community, but yet it's a big community, and you don't realize how many people you know until you go to something like that. And you're like, oh, yeah, of course you're friends with Tom. Oh, of course you're friends with the gardeners. Oh, of course you're a client. Oh, of course. And you just don't think about it. But I was very happy because I got to hold a baby. Yeah, Jim Goggart, who we call Super Pro around here, he brought his grandchild and I got to hold her. And that made me happy. So anything could have happened around me, but I was holding a baby, so I didn't care.
Well, there are lots of people who had the same comment you did about, you know, each year they say, well, I hadn't seen so-and-so for all these years, and it was great seeing them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really kind of a fun event, a nice tradition we've kind of established now. So.
Well, and then, Tom, I don't know if you knew this or not, but a week later, I guess I didn't make the connection. Your daughter got married.
Right.
So, like, holy cow.
It's a busy week.
Yeah. I don't even know how you did all that. Well, you probably didn't have to do a lot because women are usually in charge of the wedding. So, right?
Well, I had to do a lot because we had it at our place.
That's true.
I did
a
lot. I was the maintenance man. I was doing lots of stuff.
I did hear there was a big tent on your property.
Yes.
Because I said that to someone. I said, well, yeah. And then like a week later, he had his daughter's wedding like on his property. And they were like, oh, that must have been the great big huge circus white tent, big huge tent that was out there in your neighborhood. I won't tell people where you live, but
well, but when that showed up, I asked my daughter where the elephant was.
That's exactly right. Exactly. But you had good weather for both weekends, right?
Yes.
I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. And
the rib was gorgeous.
It was.
And yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. Though I don't know how much fun it was. I think I got sued there.
Oh, that's right.
Someone's telling me when.
Oh, yeah, Jackson.
Yeah.
Right. We had Jackson with us and we were joking around and Tom literally just kind of like pushed him with his elbow or whatever, and Jackson dramatically fell out of the chair.
Because he bounces well.
He does bounce well. And we all just lost it. It was hysterical because he looked up like, what just happened? And so then he said, this is child abuse. And we said, well, you'll have to go talk to your lawyer, Tom. He's right over there. And so then he did.
Ran.
He ran to you.
Ran over to Tom, interrupted a conversation to sue his grandpa.
Yeah. And probably the rest of us for thinking it was so funny. But yeah, abuse. But anyway, it was great fun. And I'm glad the wedding went well. I did see a few pictures online. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely awesome. But in the meantime, we're going to talk a little law. And one of the things that we decided to talk about was the Supreme Court's recent decision regarding affirmative action. And that's with regard to colleges and their standards for acceptance kind of
thing. Right, that's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They decided that you cannot use race to decide who is getting in your college. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a big decision.
So how does it relate to the average person?
Well, I think it's too early to tell how it relates.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean that there can't be a lot of factors considered in college admission. It just means that race can't be one of those factors. So, for example, the issue often is socioeconomic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So independent of race, you could have, in any race, you could have people that are doing exceedingly well, and the question is, should they have some favored status if they're doing well? So it's a very interesting evolution of the case on this. The original decision that related to this, the biggest decision, was called the Bakke case.
Okay.
And that case was probably around 78, 79, somewhere in that time period, could have been 80, where they said that race could be a factor that would be considered in admissions. At that time, Justice O'Connor had made a comment in her opinion, saying something like, maybe this won't be a factor in 25 years. But for now, we think it's an appropriate factor given historical discrimination and things like that. So now we're close to 25 years later,
mm-hmm.
and the Supreme Court has shifted and said that that's not to be a factor. But colleges will be able to say, here are what our factors are.
Right.
And you see all sorts of changes taking place, some that I never thought would take place. I don't know if they're good or bad, but for example, you know, the colleges have retreated from college admission test scores, SATs and ACTs. So that change has taken place very rapidly and only over the last 4 or 5 years. And now those have, you know, I think that it's some number like 25% of colleges don't consider those test scores anymore. So
how is that helpful?
I don't know how it's helpful necessarily.
Like, so how do you let your students in? I mean, it should be all about your academic ability.
Well, what they're saying is they look at high school scores, they look at extracurricular activities, etc. So the interesting part about that is, what did the college tests do for people? So I think, did they have some sort of discriminatory impact, or are they weighted? Those are always the issues about the tests. The other side about those tests, though, is do they give opportunity to people that otherwise wouldn't have opportunities, right? So you could have somebody who's in a low socioeconomic category. The parents don't have funds, but the kid's a genius.
Right.
Right? So the schools say, well, we want this kid.
Right.
Because this kid stands out. Now, the test scores are just one differentiator. Maybe that kid had good high school grades too, or there are lots of kids that kind of goof off in high school, but they are smart,
mm-hmm.
and they have great test scores, and the schools would say, we'll take that kid,
right?
Because there's a ton of potential there.
Right.
They might be immature in high school, or maybe they had 2 bad years in high school and then they buckled down, or whatever it might be. So it's a whole, you know, whether another interesting part to this is, are college admissions to be subjective or objective, right? So if they're objective, the test scores were more objective, mm-hmm. maybe. That would be one argument.
Right.
And maybe grades are more subjective. Or you might say, okay, this kid goes to this bad school, the kid gets straight A's. How do we compare that kid with a kid that goes to a school that's very tougher. Competitive?
Right.
And is it the same? You know, so it's hard to make those comparisons. And some people would argue the test scores were never fair to begin with, because if you grow up in a family where there's a million books in your house, you're more likely to do well on the ACT. You know, I don't know. It's a very interesting area.
You know, my thought here is, if you apply to college and you get in and you don't have good scores and you haven't been a good student, but you're right on that lower borderline of, okay, we're going to let this kid in because we have to accept a certain percentage of this race, that race. Who do you want to operate on you? The doctor that has great test scores, has earned it, works hard, or the doctor that got in because of a law and not because of ability, or that's where I see it. And I also see this not looking at SATs and ACTs and stuff as lowering standards. Like, why are we lowering our expectations? Well, number one, because this government is so flip-flopped in how they solve problems. How about all this money that we're sending to all these other places to do things that have nothing to do with the United States of America? And we put that into early education, and we put that into where the kids are suffering with regard to, you know, here again, the ability to have opportunities, or, you know, we put them into, and I don't mean throw money at bad schools, because that's just throwing good money after bad. But I see it as lowering expectations when you shouldn't look at the name. You shouldn't look at their race. You should look at their scores. Look at what they have earned. And then figure out how we can take all of this useless spending that we're doing and help these other kids achieve what their fellow students are achieving way earlier than college. Like, this, it's too late now once you've gotten to college. Like, why aren't we helping them in grade school? Why aren't we making sure that their test scores and their reading ability and all these things, so that when they get to the SATs and ACTs and they go to apply for college, they have a chance? Like, we don't give them a chance early enough in life.
Well, I think first thing you're talking about is investing in America, which I think is a great idea.
Right.
Quit spending that money everywhere else and invest in the country. And I don't disagree. Start when it's younger, you know, and teach them how to study. Give them the tools they need to work to that future. But, you know, one thing that we never talk about, and this has been going on forever, definitely my lifetime, is these, we have to fill X amount of race positions at a company or whatever. What about those poor people that have been put into that position because of the color of their skin?
Well, and how do they feel about themselves if they, exactly. I mean, do they feel inadequate because they're struggling to do their job, but they were put there because it, we have got to stop looking at color to me. It doesn't matter. It's just like you said, what difference does it make what color the kid's skin is if he has a terrible home situation? You know, he's got a learning disability. It just doesn't matter what color their skin is. They're a child. They're a human.
Yeah, because aren't we all created equally?
And we all have thought we were
similar problems or advantages or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree. Take color out.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem is we keep putting it back in.
Right. But is that a step in that direction or no?
Oh, I think it's a step in that direction, yes. Mm-hmm. And some of the arguments that you make are the arguments that are attributed to Clarence Thomas a lot as a justice. And his, they say one of his concerns was that he felt he earned everything he got, and he questioned whether people perceived him the same way.
But
you
know.
Do have, it's such a complicated issue because take on the other side of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alumni whose kid gets in because the alumni, the legacy type situation. And now that's starting to change a little bit too, because some schools are saying we're not going to grant legacy, but they've done that only after granting legacy for 200 years.
Right. My question is, you said this, some of this stuff has been going on 4 or 5 years or so. How is COVID going to play into this? And this, you know, we've got this generation or stretch, so to speak, of, you know, 3 or 4 years of kids that, again, because of COVID, they're not reading at the ability. They're not socially, you know, that's another issue. You know, they hadn't gone out and been able to do the extracurricular things. I wonder how this is going to affect that.
I don't know the answer. I mean, I don't know if test scores go down or not, and they're not considering them as much. And maybe, you know, some of the things you read about during COVID was that the teachers were more lenient on grades, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how the colleges look at this and determine what weight to give things. You're going to see it all over the board at all different schools, and there are always going to be subjective decisions that people are going to have problems with, no matter what you consider.
Yeah, you can't make everybody happy, that's for sure.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
But I think you're going to see this bubble of kids that even if they take the SATs, they're never going to get a score, or the ACTs, they're never going to get a score that qualifies them where they want to go or perhaps where they should go that would be best for them, because, again, you go back to COVID. So then how do you factor that in? It'll be interesting to see how they kind of react. And I mean, I'm sure that's happening now, you know, you've got to, but when we've got eighth graders reading at third grade levels, I mean, the problem really is way long before we start taking SATs and ACTs. Do you see an appeal happening with this case or anything?
No, U.S. Supreme Court case.
So it's done.
The appeals are going to be, you know, maybe about different criteria used, but so things won't be race-based, whether or not they're based on other factors, et cetera. So what you see in some of the graduate schools is that they've gone to required interviews. You know, that wasn't the case because they just, for law school, when I applied, you could look at a chart and pretty much tell what schools you're likely to get in or not get in. I think undergrad, you could do the same general thing based on your test scores and your grades and things like that. But I know Northwestern Law School, where I teach part-time, they interview all the candidates. So one of the things that you talk about with COVID is a loss of kind of social IQ.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And so I think schools could take that into account with respect to their interview process. But, you know, that level, I mean, I guess in the extreme case, you could say people are what they are, but you see so many people that are kind of introverts and smart when they're 18.
Right.
Right. But when they're 30, they're normal people, right?
Right.
They have, if they're a doctor, they have good bedside manner, whatever, they've had life experiences, they've matured.
Mm-hmm.
So the question there is, how much of the social do you take into account? What develops? I mean, there's no answers to any of these things. And there's another presumption, I think, that underlies the college admissions part and grad school admissions too, and that is that getting into the most highly rated school is the key to life. And the studies suggest that that's not the key to life.
It's not. Yeah.
You know, for some, though, it provides a passageway that's a pretty clear path, or an easier path than others. But for probably 90% of the schools, that's not the case. So it might not matter as much as people think. The parents think, oh, my God, my kid has to get into this school, like the Hollywood parents, right?
Right, right.
Well, you see, there was stories before that about New York parents that were bribing their way to have their kids into preschool. I don't know what the blocks were gold-plated or something. I don't know. But but that's the parents' attitude, right?
Uh-huh,
so,
right.
So if you take, with certain exceptions, there's no doubt that some schools provide pathways to people.
Sure.
And if you look at Harvard, Yale probably comprise at least, I don't know about the current court, but the court 10 years ago, that was probably 6 of the 9 justices went to one of those schools, maybe
right.
7.
Right.
And if you look at some government pathways, same sort of thing, Harvard, Yale, Georgetown, because it's in D.C., or if you go into journalism, Medill at Northwestern has a network all over the world. So you're going to get a job anywhere you want almost if you go to Medill. Or Kellogg at Northwestern for business, or U of C for economics, et cetera.
Right.
MIT for engineering. So it's true for those prime institutions, but the rest of it, maybe a lot of this is a lot about nothing.
Right.
You know, if the kids do well in college, they can go somewhere.
I think it's getting proven more and more that college is not the answer to a good life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Honesty,
integrity,
respect, and hard work is really all you need. And you can make it work. Go to a tech school. If you want to go to something advanced, I know a lot of people that have never gone to college and have been successful raising a family. You know, maybe they're not filthy rich, but they're comfortable and able to do what they want to do.
Happy. The American dream does not require a college education, but
you take one of those elements out, and I think your percentage of success is going to drastically reduce, because without that, those basic skills, it's probably not going to work for you.
Right.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, my most successful business clients don't have college degrees.
They
know how to deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
They have smarts from just being in the industry. Right. And they're smart. They just elected not to go to college.
Oh, I know some huge idiots that are college graduates. I mean, come on.
We all do, right?
Yeah. People that should have never even been able to do what they've done. I still just go back to the kids. You know, none of this would matter. Colleges wouldn't have to worry, and none of us would have to worry about making sure that every human in this country, regardless of their race, color, sex, whatever, we wouldn't have to worry about everybody exceeding across the board if we would put our money and our efforts into early prevention of catastrophic decisions made by young people, because that's really where their downfall is. One of the other decisions quickly that came down from the Supreme Court also was that based on religious beliefs, the one lady did not have to create content, and she was a website creator, and she didn't have to do the website for the people that religiously she was against what the content was going to be, basically. What I've noticed is that everybody reacts to these decisions as if you are banning something. And what they don't remember is that if that coin was flipped and an LGBTQ couple owned a company that did websites and somebody came in and said, we want you to create this website, and they said the same thing, they wouldn't have to create that website either. Like, it really has nothing to do with anything other than freedom of religion. And people forget that that works both ways.
You know, you have different spins by the media in different,
of course,
different directions, right?
Well, the media,
right?
Sucks.
So, you know, these are really ticklish issues on religion, First Amendment rights, mm-hmm. things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is just the perception and what's fair and what's not fair and what kind of society you want to create. And also, I think sometimes the decisions can be overrated in terms of their impact.
Right.
Right, because people kind of proceed as they will proceed. The decision is a flashpoint, but the decision doesn't necessarily change conduct or how people think, etc. It has an influence, so as societally, it's important. But
right, it's not like all these people are going to start saying, "Oh, I'm not going to do business with you now." That is not what happens.
Well, I think we're in such an overreaction state.
Right.
There's no conversation anymore. Everything's, if you don't agree with me, you are wrong and I hate you.
Yeah.
That's the reaction.
There's a lot of attitude.
You can't,
yeah,
talk to anybody.
Yeah.
You know.
But it's like you said, Tom, that you're right. It's not like people are going to start rushing out and conducting business in a different manner.
Yeah,
right?
They probably won't.
I mean,
right.
It's not,
I mean,
like some
of the laws
wave.
Will make some changes, right?
Right.
There can't be discrimination in housing, et cetera.
Sure.
Those have impacts, and this will have an impact for some people. But for the most part, for business people, there are some that are, you know, they'll say, here's my philosophy. I'm not willing to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But most business people say, can you pay?
Right.
Well, okay. Yeah.
What gets me, and this is weird because we're almost out of time. What gets me is that there's a lot of other people out there that would do this work. Like, why do you have to go? Right. Go to a different bakery. Go to a different website designer. Like, why sue this particular person? Or
yeah, and it's a platform, right? So mm-hmm. if you look at moving the law, you want to, as a lawyer, you want to have a case that sets the facts out in a way that's favorable to you, right?
Right.
So it wasn't a mistake that Brown versus Board of Education was brought with the plaintiff they brought.
Right.
You know, you look for the right plaintiff, or the plaintiff comes to you and you say, well, this is a good case. We have somebody who has an appealing case. There are different factors. It's an interesting decision for
mm-hmm.
the court to make.
Right.
From a lawyer's point of view. And you can say, well, the group you represent, whatever it might be, this will forward that group's cause. So that's what you have in
right.
that case. And for that matter, the discrimination case that we talked about,
mm-hmm.
same sort of thing, right? They said, well, is this a good fact pattern to come before the court? Does it address conflicts that existed before? Does it deal with the Bakke decision? And there's some other intermediate decisions that would relate to it.
Sure.
And so that's how it comes to pass. The Supreme Court takes cases that have issues that need to be decided where there are either societal concerns or there's disagreement between the different districts across the country, or
right.
an issue that needs to be resolved according to the court. So I'm not surprised that that case came before the court.
Right. I mean, I'm not surprised either. To me now, that's using the Supreme Court to further a cause rather than. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that now that you explained it that way. otherwise, what else comes to mind? We've got about 2 minutes here.
Oh, well, you know, the other, on our first topic, the other issue that I think is an, it's not a legal issue, but it's an issue that has impact when we talk about equal opportunity, and that is the level of college tuition and grad school tuition. And when you talk about having, you know, a doctor who is the best possible doctor, there's lots of doctors that are excluded because they look at it and they say, my God, I'm going to owe $400,000 or $500,000 when I graduate medical school.
Right.
I don't want to do that. That's not how I was raised to have all this kind of debt.
Right.
So on that end, there's opportunity that's hurt as well. And we got two things there. One, you have the governmental sponsored programs where the kids get into debt because the money's available to them. And the second side of it is you have universities with massive, massive amounts of money
in endowments.
And instead of using that, they just perpetuate it. So I think Yale was an example of all the financial people would look at Yale and say, man, look at how they grow that endowment fund. Well, they didn't use it that much, right? Anyway, that's just one.
But you're absolutely right about that. Here again, it was the same thing with the Unaffordable Care Act. The insurance was not the problem. It's the health care costs and, you know, and the charges and the and just the whole that whole system was the problem. We revamped the wrong system in that case. Same thing here. We need to revamp the student loan programs. Those should be 0 or 1% interest, maybe. Why do you stress out the future of our country? Because that's exactly what you've done. We need to be providing more opportunity for kids of all colors, of all abilities, more opportunity.
And you should have to earn your way into college, but it shouldn't cost you
right.
for the rest of your life.
How do we get in touch with you when we want to talk about the Supreme Court?
which is actually a great place to be, having argued there. So
I know you have argued. That would just be overwhelming to me.
Yeah, I would love to do it again.
Yeah. Oh,
so
you will.
So have one of your listeners call
okay,
me with
yes.
a good case.
Yes.
It'll be Jackson, I'm sure.
Oh God.
I can be reached at 262-812-0864. Or our website is gkwwlaw.com.
Awesome. Tom, thanks so much.
It's a pleasure being here.
We will see you again next month. Coming up, more music right here on Lake 96.1.